Now, Kramer and Jess, mornings on Mix 106.5.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Hey, welcome to your Monday show.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
We got most of the crew back together. Everybody's back in the studio today. Man, what a whirlwind. We'll get into everything, obviously, with Radiothon and Jess being out and just what a crazy 2 days, Thursday, Friday. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything you guys did for the kids over at Johns Hopkins. We'll get into all the numbers and everything as we go throughout the show. But I thought we could talk about just how chaotic it was trying to get that show up. Jess, when did you text us to let us know? Were you out Tuesday, right?
No, I was out Wednesday.
Out Wednesday.
Yeah.
You let us know Tuesday night that you weren't feeling well.
Yes, yeah.
So the decision was made because obviously we're around a bunch of kids and just to keep them safe, that it'd be best if Jess didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
First off, how are you feeling? Are you back?
Yeah.
100%?
I honestly feel normal for the first time in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Obviously the week before last, that entire week I felt like I was like fighting off a cold. And then that Tuesday evening, it was like the symptoms I was experiencing are just too gross to talk about on the air. So we won't get too like into the details of that.
Though.
But all the symptoms were like so random, and the way they were hitting me was kind of, it like freaked me out, honestly.
Right, yeah.
And so Tuesday was not fun, and it probably was lasting till about like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning the following day.
Yeah.
And that's when I had to let you guys know I couldn't make it in Wednesday. And then I ended up having to go to urgent care because I think more than anything, I wanted to know like what I had, because obviously if it was contagious or something like that.
Sure.
I definitely caught some sort of like virus in addition to like a severe sinus migraine whole thing.
Right.
And so my body was just pretty much going through it this last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like obviously with that news, we're like scrambling. We're like, well, what? I mean, like, should I host the morning segment by myself? Because Jess and I have worked together for so many years now. You're like my person, bro.
Well, it's scary. Like, that's the biggest, biggest event that we do.
No.
And I think that was probably, I'm not going to lie, I think like adding on to like the stress, because not only was like I was freaking myself out because I couldn't fathom missing that event.
Right.
And if like just for behind the scenes, the way that the times are played out, like obviously the way that we're on air so much longer, everyone on the team.
Right.
And so it's like, that's a lot to put on you. That's a lot to put on everybody else. And who was going to step in and do that?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
So Maria Dennis, man, let me tell you about Maria Dennis for a second.
Yes. Like, thank you so much to Maria Dennis.
And I'll tell y'all this, and I'll be real with y'all. I didn't really know Maria that well. She works here, and she's worked on Mix for a very long time. But I didn't really know her. Yo, true pro.
Maria's a star.
Awesome person, bro.
Yeah.
Like, she stepped in, and like she did such a good job. Like, it was weird not having you there, but shout out to Maria because she was like helping like just keep that glue together. We got a bunch more stories from Radiothon, man. But thank you, seriously. Thank you guys. Really showed up in a massive way in the 6 o'clock hour. So like, thank you for doing that, because we told you it's the toughest hour that we have, and everyone's always blown away. They're always like, oh, you know, people like around the country, don't worry about 6 o'clock. You will never raise money in 6 o'clock, but like, you guys show up.
Literally out of nowhere, like an angel, this guy appears like a ninja, and he's like, here you go. And I'm like, what the hell?
If it's a story about a ninja popping out of nowhere, you know it's got to be in Pennsylvania, y'all. And that's exactly how we're starting the show today, with a segment we do called PA So Cray Cray. Now, this is not like to point fingers or to be mean or anything, but you got to notice how bizarre things get. Jess, what's this all about?
PA So Cray Cray is a segment that we've created lovingly about our neighbors in Pennsylvania. There's no beef here. There's no shade. It's mainly just the tea. Like, a lot of weird, bizarre things happen in Pennsylvania, and we just like to chat about them. That's all.
So if there's something bizarre happening in Pennsylvania, we'll talk about it in this segment. And just to notice, why do things get so weird?
Yeah, like, it's weird.
It's not like in Maryland, isn't it, we don't get like weird stories like this. DC sometimes, but rarely. Delaware never. Virginia never.
And we're not saying that like we don't have our moment.
No.
We're more like, honestly, when we say weird, we're talking about one of my favorite things that ever came out of the state. Do you remember when the zebras were loose?
Yeah.
Was it the zebras?
The zebras, yeah.
When the zebras were like walking around randomly. That's what we're talking about. We want that vibe.
Okay, so this woman said a ninja popped out of nowhere, and like this is talk about like perfect timing with this whole situation. That woman's name is Jennifer. Jennifer lives in Northern Liberties, PA, and she was at a dry cleaner trying to just get her suit, like a suit altered. And all of a sudden, a dude runs into the place, grabs her purse, and runs out.
Ew.
And obviously, they're both like, wow, like that's, I mean, I don't know any of what any of us would do, right? Like, it'd be really scary, but like, do you run after them? Do you stop? Like, what do you do? Well, they both, not only Jennifer, but the owner of this alteration store decided to run after them and then realized that, like, there was no way they were going to be able to catch up with this guy. He's running too fast, right? And then apparently, out of nowhere, a guy who was like a sensei at a karate studio pops out of nowhere. Like, the way they describe it, pops out of nowhere.
Like, this man was, like, on a walk, maybe.
Knocked the guy with the purse down with a karate kick. Knocked him down, got the purse back. Guy is now under arrest because of that.
Okay, wait. The sensei or the... No, not the sensei.
No.
You're talking about the guy who took the purse,
the guy with
the
purse.
Okay, when you
say
this...
Got knocked out by the karate guy.
When you say this, I imagine think of, like... I think it's, like, J&J's alterations on, like, York Road. And, like, next to it is, like, a Dunkin' Donuts and the Baskin-Robbins that I go to. And I imagine myself going in there. And it's, like, such a random area. Like, where no one really... It's not, like, a walking area unless you're, like, going to go from place to place on, like, you know, from Dunkin' or Baskin-Robbins or go get your stuff altered. And I walk out and then there's just, like, a karate master there.
Just to literally get, like, karate kicked. Like, when's
the
last time?
Maybe he was getting gas across the street.
It's, like, it's incredible. Here's them telling the story, by the way.
And I'm just screaming bloody murder like a complete lunatic. Like, stop him! Stop him! Stop him! Help! 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 To anyone around.
I caught up with him and then I gave him a kick on the leg. As I got him a kick on the leg, he dropped the bag and stumbled and then he kept running away.
I feel like the way he downplayed that is so casual, but I'm sure it was like so aggressive.
So dramatic.
I kicked him in the leg. You mean like you broke his leg, sir?
Bro, isn't that crazy?
Wow, that's incredible, to be honest.
So they were able to catch the guy and like everything's like fine now.
Talk about timing.
Yo, let your kids do their karate classes. Like you never know when it's going to pay off. And this is why we do a segment called PA So Cray Cray, because things are just a little weirder up there, you know? Hey, can you tell me if I'm an a-hole for telling this massive lie at the Radiothon this year? This has been sitting heavy on my heart since Friday, and I feel like I've got to confess this to my radio friends this morning, because y'all get me. Y'all understand. First off, thank you for the $1.14 million that you guys raised last week for the kids at Johns Hopkins.
Just so incredible and so thankful that you do that and you show up every single year. It changes lives.
It's such a meaningful project that you do, and I hope you feel good knowing that like $1.14 million, like that's insane amount of money to collect in 2 days. So thank you.
It's not a normal thing, by the way. Like a lot of, like I was just talking to a friend of mine who works in a different market, and she was like, wait, how much do you guys raise?
I know.
And what did you do? You know, like, it's not a normal thing that the community is able to do.
And it's because of you. It's because of you and your generosity. So again, thank you. $1.14 million this year. So thank you so much for that. Okay, so I got caught in such a weird situation. At the end of Radiothon, we do this reveal where kids like push the numbers up and of a board. It reveals how much money we raise and all that. And there's a ton of people there, right? And it's kind of, wouldn't you admit, it's kind of chaotic. We're tired. Like,
yes.
It's just a very, like,
and everyone's
excited. Everyone's excited. There's just a lot of energy going on, right?
Yeah, and the kids are given the numbers, which is, like, so much fun, but also a lot of pressure for the kids and, like, when to, like, lift up their specific number.
So this woman comes up to me in the midst of all this chaos, and she was like, I just want to thank you. And I was like, for what? She goes, you gave me some advice a couple of years ago at Radiothon that changed my life.
Is this a parent?
And I was like, I at this point, I don't know who this is.
Okay.
She literally, it's almost like she appeared out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I was obviously really confused because I don't feel like my advice is that great. So I was like,
yeah. And you're like, I've actually only been here twice, and yeah, the other ones were virtual, so I can't remember.
So she starts telling me, she's like, I was the one, and she goes on to this story about, and I won't give too many details, I didn't ask permission
to. But you don't
to
remember because you have a bad memory.
Well, she goes on to tell this story about how she basically forgave her father for something, mm-hmm, and like it brought them back together, and like, mm-hmm, she was, mm-hmm, so happy, and things have been a little rocky, but things are good, and like it was. And I'm sitting here, I'm like trying to like rack my brain, and she goes, it changed my life. She goes, she's like, God, I haven't seen you probably since, I haven't been to a radiothon probably since 2016, 2017.
Oh no, she thinks you're somebody else.
And I literally pause because Jess is right. We weren't on the radio here in 2016, 2017.
No.
But this woman was so happy
to see you,
to see quote unquote me, whoever the me was,
which isn't you,
gave her this advice.
I have a few guesses on who she thought you were.
Did she think we were the show before us? Well, did she think I was Priestley? Like, I at this point, I don't know.
No way she thought you were Priestley.
But this woman,
y'all
this
don't
woman,
look alike one bit.
Y'all, this woman was so happy to see quote unquote me, like literally almost in tears.
Oh,
to like tell me this.
And you're like, I'm not the man.
I did not
sorry
say
to
that.
This man.
I literally took credit for that advice.
Well,
because she was so,
I feel like that's what she needed in that moment.
Now tell me, is that the wrong thing to do though?
Because I don't think so.
I felt like,
you know, like honestly in that moment, like you gotta let her get it out. Like that was more for her than for you. And I think that you would have taken away her shine if you were like, by the way, I think you don't, there's a misunderstanding here. Like let her do her thing.
But here's the problem with that. Is it number one, I don't know the advice that was actually given here, okay?
Yeah.
Like, what if it was terrible advice and forever that's on my name? Like, what if something happens with her and her dad and, like, between this year and next year that she comes back and she's like, yo, that was actually terrible advice and I hate you. And I'm like, wait, it wasn't me. But now, two, what if she runs into the real whoever she was looking for?
Yeah.
And then realizes
and she's
that
like,
Kramer,
oh my gosh, it was so nice to see you at Radiothon. And he's like, huh?
Like I got fired or whatever. Like I don't know.
Just take it easy. Take it easy.
I don't
it's all
know.
About the kids. Take it easy.
I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but it's like sitting so heavy on my heart. Should I have been like, hey, listen.
I'm not the man.
That's not me. Do you find it sexy when your partner does chores? Sexy. And Jess, we'll obviously need to get your 2 cents on this. There's a survey out this morning talking about how 52% of people in the state of Maryland say when they see their partners doing chores around the house. It's,
yeah. Pull out that Glad trash bag. I'll tell you who's glad. It's me. Wait, there's so many other things I was about to say. But that would
what were you going to say? Yeah, I could tell.
I could tell you
shifted a little bit.
I was
bit.
About to say something crazy, but I won't say it. Sorry. Reeling it in. Sorry.
Yo, 52% of people here in Maryland say that. They say that they find it sexy
mm-hmm,
when their partners do chores.
Yep.
We'll run down some of these really quick. Of the sexiest of the chores that you find when your partner's doing them.
Taking out the trash.
Taking out the trash is...
Where? Top
not
five.
On the list.
Oh, blasphemy. Who made that list?
Bro, who are you? You come back sick and all of a sudden we get a blasphemy?
No, I'm sorry, but that's like that's actually not even, that's not true. Who made this list?
Number five.
Somebody in Colombia?
Tidying the bed. What
oh,
Colombia?
Making the bed?
Making the bed's number five, okay?
Yeah.
Number four, I'm going to try to say this in my
number
sexy
five,
voice.
I mean, not number five, but nice.
Number four, doing the laundry. Oh, yeah.
Because laundry, no one wants to do it. So,
nobody wants to do
I mean,
it.
And you know, here's the thing too. Here's a little tip for anyone, you know, for your partner. Whether it's for your partner or you, like, you don't even need to fully complete it. You could just start it.
Just throw it in there.
If you start it, that does
enough.
So much. You know what I mean?
Tidying the bedroom is next. So if you've cleaned up, if your man's in there cleaning up the bedroom, or woman doesn't, this is gender neutral here. I mean, if your partner's in there cleaning up the bedroom, turn on.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, by the way, about how 52% of the people in the state of Maryland find it to be sexy when their partner does chores.
Yes.
Number two is vacuuming. Ooh.
Oh my God. When my husband garage boy, like when he's just like, I think I'm going to vacuum. And I'm like, oh my God, you really care about me.
I've never seen you hotter.
Like out of nowhere.
Because
vacuuming
right
is annoying, but it's something that needs to get done.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. It's like a lot of work.
Number one sexiest chore is what? Number one sexiest drawer.
To me, taking out the trash, but apparently the person who made this doesn't care.
Five. Not top five.
Number one is going to be doing the dishes.
Doing the dishes is number one. You find it the absolute hottest.
Yeah.
When your partner does the dishes. What is that? Do you find this to be true?
It's nice, but like my thing, and I don't know why I didn't make top three at least, is meal prepping.
Oh,
my husband, like meal preps our lunches every single week. And it's like, A, you're so smart because you're doing the calculations and you're weighing stuff out. You smart,
so
genius man.
Yeah.
And then B, like you really care about my health. Like you
it's
want
true.
Me. Oh, and you know what's even on top of that is like, it's also, you see me for who I am. Like I cannot function when I'm hangry. Mm. So it's the fact that he's probably doing it for me and also for himself. But just to know that I already have like a guaranteed meal that he takes care of is so kind.
Done. Hey, what's the sexiest chore, honestly? You see your partner do this chore, it's a major, major. I can't. Okay,
ew.
Now. These are the top three trending stories in the city.
The Baltimore top three. With Jess. Number three.
March 9th is National Crab Meat Day, and there is no better place for it than Baltimore. And Matthew Scales, the seafood marketing director at the State Department of Agriculture, says no place does crabs better than Maryland, but it's actually surprising that a lot of crabs are imported. We actually combat a lot of imported crab meat from Indonesia and Venezuela. And he said, believe it or not, 95% of Maryland restaurants are serving crab meat not from the state.
Way.
The Maryland Department of Agriculture has actually started a True Blue program that supports restaurants and retailers that serve at least 57% of crab meat sourced from Maryland. And the official start of crab season approaches on April 1st.
That feels fake now.
I didn't know that.
Y'all should feel cheated today going through that. But like, why not? Why is it, do they cite a source of why they don't use more here? Is it just because they don't have enough crabs, or like, was there a reason? Is it cheaper? Like, I'm wondering what the reason is. If you know,
I'm not sure.
If you're a restaurant owner.
I'm sure it has to do with the season though. You know what I'm saying?
Could be the seasonal thing.
Yeah.
If you're a restaurant person and like can tell us on the low, we won't even tell you which restaurant it is on the air, but we just want to know. You can text us 410-583-1065.
Number two.
There's a new workplace term currently trending online called task masking, which is where employees spend a lot of time and effort just trying to look like they're working hard when in reality they're not doing anything. And it sounds like it's most popular with young Gen Z workers. There's videos of TikTok influencers actually offering advice on how to appear if you are task masking. Stuff like walking fast with the laptop stuffed under your armpit, or typing really, really loudly. And some managers are saying that it's a trend they're actually seeing trickle into their workforce. Honestly, it's something that's always been a thing. Like, let's be real. I think it's just a matter of now adding names to it, just like quiet quitting or quiet firing.
Well,
you know what I mean?
This is how much we hate working. And if this was you too, you want to confess to this, let us know. I have a friend that works from home, and she bought this thing that will make her mouse look like it's moving even though she's not near the computer. Like, it will literally, she plugs it into her USB port.
Yeah.
And it basically is like a fake mouse that will like just move around the screen.
Oh wait, why? Because her job is regulating how much the, like, I don't know.
Like how much activities are going on her computer.
That
at home.
Is wild.
Oh, so crazy to me.
Number one.
After months of rumors, it was finally confirmed that Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo would perform at the 2025 Oscars, and they did not disappoint. Grande and Erivo opened the awards with a show-stopping performance of a medley of songs from The Wizard of Oz, The Wiz, and Wicked. Grande performed Somewhere Over the Rainbow from the original 1939 film. Erivo sang Home from The Wiz, and the two joined forces for Defying Gravity from Wicked. Take a listen. Oh my God. Literally, stop what you're doing. Turn off our show and go watch this full performance.
Please don't turn off our show.
It was everything. I thought it was just going to be Wicked, and I don't know why the idea didn't dawn on me of just like a Wizard of Oz medley. And also, it was such a beautiful thing to incorporate the Wiz with the passing of Quincy Jones. Like, it was like one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. The Oscars were hosted by Conan O'Brien last night. Anora won 5 Oscars, definitely the big winner of the night, including Best Actress for Mikey Madison, and Adrian Brody won Best Actor for The Brutalist.
Did Wicked win anything?
Wicked won Best Costume Design, which honestly was like a massive deal just because that was the first black designer to win in that category.
But still,
but I was so disappointed. I'm really heartbroken that Jon M. Chu wasn't even nominated in the Best Director category. I think that was like a major snub and a major issue for other things as well. I obviously have been manifesting Cynthia Erivo to take home the Oscar, and I'm so sad that she is not EGOT. She would have been like the youngest to do that. My hope is after Wicked 2 comes out, that's when they're going to sweep. You know what I mean?
It's kind of crazy.
But they were nothing, snubbed.
You know, like the majors.
It was insane. This is Jess, and that's your top 3 brought to you by Goal Vision.
Kramer and Jess.
$1,000. Minute.
Mix 106.5.
Hey, the game is back after Radiothon. First, thank you so much for any one of you who donated to the Radiothon this year. $1.14 million in 48 hours, so thank you for that. This is our $1,000 trivia game that we play. Caller 10 is playing today, and who is this?
This is Lisa.
Lisa.
What's up?
What's
it's
up?
It's been so long.
Oh my gosh, I know, right?
Where you been?
I've been here trying.
Well, here we go. You made it back in. Lucky Lisa, she's been playing this game for a long time. She's been playing this game since 2020 before it was even called the $1,000 Minute. So,
that's true.
Lisa, welcome back.
I used to like the other one, though. I like the other one better.
Well, you could take notes. It was a little easier to pick up. This one's a little trickier. Jess will explain how we play this game, and then we're going to get into our $1,000 game here.
If you can answer 7 trivia questions in 60 seconds, you win $1,000 in free Dash and gas. But if you get one wrong, mispronounce one, or take longer than 60 seconds, you are out. Now remember, you can pass on the ones you don't know. You just got to say pass, and we will go back to them only if there is time at the end. Lucky Lisa, you ready?
Yep.
Your chance at $1,000 in Dash and gas starts
Question number one, what animal is the national symbol for Australia?
Australia. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Australia.
You can pass.
Or pass.
I want to guess, but I don't know, so pass.
Okay, question number two. What singer's hit songs include Set Fire to the Rain and Rollin' in the Deep? Set Fire to the Rain. I set fire. Okay, question number three. A box of chocolates has 24 pieces. If 8 are eaten, how many are left? 24, 8 are eaten.
16.
Correct. Question number four. What's the name of the fictional town in Kill a Mockingbird?
Pass.
Question number five. What is the first rule of Fight Club in the movie Fight Club?
Pass.
Question number six. Which American automaker produces the Wrangler?
It's
all good. Let's go through it. It was kind of a tough round. It's Monday. We got a lot working against us today. Jess, let's go through these really quick.
Yeah, back to number one. What animal is the national symbol of Australia? That answer is kangaroo.
Yep.
Question number two. What singer's hit song includes Set Fire to the Rain and Rollin' in the Deep? That's Adele. You got number three. Good job on that.
I thought you wanted a movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. You got the box of chocolates. Amazing. Next question. What is the name of the fictional town in To Kill a Mockingbird? That's Macomb.
Yeah, Macomb.
Next question.
We read that book since fifth grade, so it's okay.
What is the first rule of Fight Club in the movie Fight Club? The rule is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Okay.
And then you got the G answer correct. And the last question, what part of the body contains your DNA? That answer is nucleus.
Yeah. Hey, it's all good, Lisa. It's all good. We don't call you Lucky Lisa for nothing. Tomorrow you can call back. It's going to be 7 more trivia questions. Somebody's got to win this thing. Hopefully it's going to be you. And we'll try it again the same time tomorrow, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lucky Lisa. And make sure to head to Dash Inn and try their new Spike Burger. It's griddle-pressed beef, crispy bacon, grilled onions, mushrooms, provolone cheese, and a signature sauce, honey, and fresh cracked egg on a brioche bun. Only at Dash Inn.
Would it be weird to you if your future mother-in-law wanted to try on your wedding dress?
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Jessica Dutra.
This is Judge Jess.
Because listen, I'm a dude, and this already sounds weird to me. Welcome to Judge Jess, Monday morning. If you've never been here before, basically, Jess, who's back in action today.
Woohoo!
Judgmental human being.
Just honest, honest
has an opinion. Has an opinion about everything.
Honest, I guess.
Honestly opinionated. We'll stick with that. So what we decided to do with this ability that Jess has is if you're ever in a disagreement about who's right and who's wrong in a situation, you guys can't figure it out, call our voicemail, tell us the situation, and Jess will decide. She'll rule, okay?
Hi, this is Jenna from Bel Air, and I have a question for Judge Jess. I'm getting married in about a year, and I found this dress that I absolutely love, and it's like $3,000. It's way out of our budget. But my to-be mother-in-law got word that I love this dress, and she gave us the money to get the dress, which was really great. Yeah. But when we went to get it, she said, you know, that's such a beautiful dress. I'd like to try it on sometime. She said that she had never had a nice wedding dress of her own. She got her secondhand. She wanted to know how it felt. Mm. And I was like, that's really weird. And I don't know what to do about that. I think it's really weird. She asked my fiance to ask me again. She wants to come over, actually, and try it on now, like this week now. Oh. So, Jess, I want to know what you think. Yeah, let me know. All right, thanks.
I don't like the asking her fiance to ask her.
She's dead set on this. Okay, so basically, like, is that weird? Like, if she was generous enough. Here's the way I'm digesting this. She was generous. Her future mother-in-law was generous enough to give her $3,000 to buy a wedding dress. And now all she wants in return.
But let me wear it.
Is to wear this wedding.
And get the same one probably without her knowing. So crazy.
Like, who's right and who's wrong in this situation? If she's asking.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't she? I mean, she bought the damn dress. It's her dress. Technically, it's her dress.
I don't like
right?
that. Like, I don't like that. I don't know. So, I think it's very sweet, and I respect and acknowledge the sentiment of the mother-in-law never having that experience and wanting to. I understand that. But I think to try on the wedding dress before the wedding is a little much for me. I would totally let her try it on after the wedding.
But before?
If she wanted.
So wait, after the wedding's fine with you?
I think, yeah. I mean,
that doesn't
why
even
not?
Seem weird to you, like a little bit.
If I had a sleepover, all my friends were over, my sister was over, I have everyone try on my dress, run around in it, take pictures, we'll do a whole photo shoot. You saw me running in a park in my wedding dress. You know, like, why not? But beforehand, I think that part is just so special for the bride. And what I don't like is the mother-in-law asking her son, ask her fiance if I can put this on.
That part's kinda weird.
That makes me feel uncomfortable.
This whole thing's a little weird.
So I would respectfully thank her for the wedding dress and be like, let's have a day after the wedding and like you can try it on and we can do a whole photo shoot of you in it, but I don't want anyone in my dress before my wedding day.
Do you have your tiny gavel over there? We bought a tiny gavel from Amazon to make these kind of things official. Like so her mother-in-law's out of line. Tiniest gavel
ever. The following day she can put it on.
Does that sound right to you? Like if your future mother-in-law was like, hey, here's some money, but like I really just want to try that dress on. Would that freak you out?
This is Cheryl on 4 in Eldersburg.
Cheryl, do you think that she should let her try the dress on before the wedding?
I think she should, because I think it would be a good bonding experience before the wedding. And if she doesn't, then I think it might create a little bit of, discomfort or whatever.
Interesting. I didn't think about that.
But wait, do we think that's kind of unfair? Because if that's the case, I feel like gift giving shouldn't be conditional then, right?
But aren't all gifts kind of conditional?
No, but that's not the point of giving a gift.
I see your point. I get it. Like, what if she says no? And it's just, y'all, it's just trying a piece of clothing on.
It's not.
If she says no.
It's literally not, though.
If she says no, think about that. Like, is that for the next, she said she's going to get married in a year from now, something like that?
Oh, for the next year, wedding planning
process.
Is it
going to be hell?
Is it going to be crazy?
Because she didn't, you know, she didn't do it. That's a really valid point. Thank you for that. 410-583-1065.
This is Julie on one in Havre de Grace.
Julie, we're talking like a year of hell, possibly, if she doesn't let her try the wedding dress on. Is it worth it? Should she let her mother-in-law just do it?
No, absolutely not.
And why?
Absolutely not. That's, okay, so it was me, that's my wedding. No, you're not trying on my, no, absolutely not. And honestly, I think if someone has the nerve to ask that and ask the fiancé.
Yeah.
That she's gonna sneak in that house and she's trying to dress on.
Wait,
no.
What?
You're saying you think that the mother-in-law is gonna break into their home and try on this dress behind her back?
That's where it gets weird.
Absolutely. If you've got the nerve to ask someone to try on their wedding dress,
yeah.
Absolutely. So you know what? I would have the wedding I could afford, and I would return the dress.
No. Wow. Oh, just so she doesn't just so she doesn't have to be up under her like that. Jeez. Oh no.
Exactly. I'm having the wedding I can afford.
Oh.
Now. These are the top three trending stories in the city.
The Baltimore top three with Jess. Number three.
A Baltimore woman is making headlines this morning looking for answers after dozens of wedding invitations have gone missing in the mail after disappearing from a USPS collection box. Her name is Stephanie Moore Cheatham, and she placed a stack of invites to her daughter's wedding in the Rosedale collection box along Golden Ring Road about a month ago and made sure they dropped down before leaving. But that was the last time anyone saw them, and her daughter's big day is just in 2 months. No one has received those 30 invitations. She's filed a missing mail search request and a complaint so far, but she's been told that she will not be getting her money back. And now she wants to warn others to be careful what they mail and where from while still holding on to hope that something is going to be done.
Yeah, what's up with the post office? You know what I mean? And by the way, the postal workers, y'all, I don't know, maybe I've been really lucky. I've had the coolest postal workers ever here in Maryland. I get to know them. I don't know why. I just get to know them.
Nice.
They're all super nice.
Yeah.
I got a package coming right now from California. It's a new Lego set of all things.
Oh, wow.
It's coming from California. And it was supposed to be here on Friday. When I check the tracking on it, it doesn't say anything other than it's still en route. It doesn't show me where it is, but it literally says it's late and en route. And
it's gone.
What?
It's a goner.
Number two.
Thousands of Hulu subscribers who tuned in to watch the Academy Awards last night missed the last two award presentations. This was the first time the Oscars were streamed, and at one point, Hulu actually dropped the coverage due to a technical issue. It came back up, and then minutes before Anora was announced as Best Picture, it crashed again. In a statement, Hulu said, "This evening, we experienced technical and live stream issues on Hulu, which impacted some Oscar viewers. We apologize, blah, 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 blah." Yo, has anyone else been experiencing technical difficulties on Hulu? I have for about 2.5 weeks now, to where it just exits out of the streaming service. And if you, I don't know if this is like every single package, but like it's connected to Disney Plus, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I've been watching the stuff that I want to watch on Hulu on Disney Plus and it doesn't crash. But this is actually wild.
I just feel like these streaming services can't really figure out these live events yet. You know, they just can't get it. It seems like anytime there's some big live event, if it's Netflix, Hulu, whoever, they just never quite seem to go without a lot
of issues.
Why
are you getting more expensive, but you're getting worse?
Right, that makes sense.
Number one.
Katy Perry is going into outer space. She is joining an all-female crew on board of Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin space flights. Lauren Sanchez, his fiance, reportedly organized this mission. And Katy Perry will be joined by Gayle King from CBS Mornings and three other women, an aerospace engineer, a civil rights activist, and a filmmaker. And the launch is scheduled for this spring.
That's rad for her. That's cool.
Why does everyone want to go to space?
Well, I don't know if you've been here recently. Earth's not going too great right now.
No, I get it.
If anyone's got me a ticket for me to go to space, let me know because I'll gladly.
Really? Would you literally go to space?
Yeah, I'll take off today. I'll take off right now. I'll turn all the music off. I will leave this building right now.
Will you literally go to space?
Jessica, take me to mother.
You get so nauseous, dude.
Space. I don't care.
Yeah, you do. Are you kidding me? You know, like the pressure that you feel when you get into space?
Too bad.
I'm just saying. This is Jess, and that's your top three. So I did the most embarrassing thing you could possibly do at a tax appointment.
What does that mean? First of all, I didn't know there was embarrassing things you could do.
Yeah, me either. Until I was embarrassed.
At a tax appointment.
Like we said, so embarrassed.
When you said the most embarrassing, I'm like, I didn't realize that there was even a list of possibilities for this. All right. What happened?
So we had our tax appointment yesterday, Garage Boy and I, and it was already a mess because we had to reschedule since I was sick and everything, right?
Right.
And we get there, and obviously when, you know, what's the number one thing that you need when you go to your tax appointment?
Your W-2s, your information.
Right, because you obviously can't file your taxes without it, correct?
Right.
Obviously. Well, when I received this thing in the mail, I assumed it was my W-2 because it looked like it and it said important tax information in the front, right? And we were in a hurry, we were in a rush, and so when we get there, I actually didn't open that piece of mail until I walked into our appointment.
Okay.
And I take off the little two side thingies or whatever, and the nice lady is like, okay, now it's your turn, like give me your W-2. And I open it and it's not my W-2.
What was it?
It's like this different insurance looking form. Like it's still like tax related, but not the form that you need.
And wait, did you realize in that moment that it wasn't a W-2? Or I think most of us are so clueless on this tax stuff. Did you just pass it over to her like, oh, here you go?
No, I realized in that I'm sitting in the chair. I'm at her desk. I'm opening it in front of her to give it to her.
Yeah.
I give it to her and she goes, what's this?
And you're I was like, I don't know. You tell
my
me.
My W-2, she goes, no, this isn't your W-2. This is, and she tells me what it is. And she's like, where's your W-2? And I was like, I don't have my W-2. I'm wasting this woman's time. I'm like, wait, crap. Like and then it gets worse. First of all, side note, she says that this is actually a very common mistake because it looks, we as normal human beings that don't know anything about
sure,
tax stuff,
right,
it looks like it would be your W-2. It's not. So please open your document before your tax appointment. And then it gets worse. She goes, well, can you access your W-2? Like online, like from work. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So now I'm trying to log into our work website from my phone, which is way more complicated than it needs to be.
Are you stressing, dude?
I can't remember the password. I'm sitting there. Gerald, my garage boy, sitting there in silence. The office is silent.
He's like, good luck. It's your problem.
You can hear a pin drop, except me freaking out because I'm like, I feel embarrassed, right? And then she goes, well, maybe you can log on to the computer and it'll work better than your phone. I realized I was entering the password wrong on my phone because I'm only used to typing it on a computer. So when I got on her computer and logged on, I was able to access my W-2, but it wasn't easy. I had to like create a profile. I'm doing this in front of her. It was, my armpits are sweating talking to you about this right now.
So what's the life lesson here, Jessica?
Open your mail before you get to your actual tax appointment to make sure it's your W-2.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Make sure you subscribe to get the show daily.
And if you think we've earned it, give us 5 stars.
Hear Kramer and Jess live every morning on Mix 106.5 Baltimore.
And check out the Kramer and Jess Uncensored podcast at KramerandJess.com.